there was a picture of the blue and yellow New Testaments. Those are Ukrainian New Testaments. You might have guessed that because that's the colors of their flag, but if not, and there's one on our table. The cover design is a little bit different if you want to take a look at that. But we've shipped 980,000 of those already. And I'm not on yet.
Should be on now. Yeah. Sorry about that. Hopefully you could hear me all right. Hopefully I'm loud enough. And so 980,000 Ukrainian New Testaments, and we've got a request for another container, which will put it over 1 million. Now, Ukraine is kind of an interesting, it's interesting how things are sizing up in Ukraine. Of course, you know there's a war there, I'm sure. If you don't, you probably are very sheltered, I would say. And but we were there before the war. We had a campaign there. I would say it was a little bit on the cold side spiritually, but, you know, war is really sad. But I would have to say that it has turned the hearts and attitudes of the people there around. There's revival there, and I mean revival is in souls are being saved there. Churches are growing. Independent Baptist churches are growing. And so the church that was started after our campaign as a result of that started with 26 people. After the war kind of came into place, for a while the believers couldn't meet because it was dangerous, bombs going off. When they were able to start meeting again, they were running in the 70s, and the last I heard, that same church is running a couple hundred people now. And so pretty good-sized church, but praise the Lord for that. They need our prayers. And then our last campaign was, we just got back the middle of May from our last campaign to Split, Croatia. And Split is the name of the city. Sounds sort of strange. But we were able to distribute 55,000 John and Romans. That's enough for one in every household in the city of Split, not including the suburbs. And we had 55 in attendance at the meeting and were able to give Bibles to those that came. And three were saved at the meeting. There were three more that came to church because they got the invitation and so forth. And they were saved and baptized after the meeting. And this campaign was to strengthen a small church. There was a small church in place because of actually some work we did kind of on the side when we were doing a campaign for another missionary. So we spent a full 2 weeks there this time. And so this is how it kind of worked out. We had a lot of the church members in Croatia. It's a small church, you know, we're talking 10 to 15 believers in a city, 185,000 people. And we got a lot of feedback from the missionary that they were excited that somebody would come from America to help them. And just think about that. You know, there's a lot of opposition in Split spiritually. And so it came to a point where after we left, the missionary's wife told my wife that they were in need of a bigger building. And they had one service, she had to go out and buy more chairs. Now, here's the prayer request for you. After all that, there was some division, some folks in the church that began, I guess best word is bickering about some small things. And they're not, the missionary actually found a bigger building that they could afford. That was a big answer to prayer. But now he's got to be out of this building in 2 months. And they don't really need a bigger building at this point. So here's the prayer request. If y'all would pray that God would bring more in, that God would build that church. Maybe even some of the tensions and the bickering, people might get that solved and get their heart right. And but when we were there, we had a lot of opposition from the Catholic Church. The building we were using was a nunnery at one time. And the owner is Catholic, and he called the manager, and he told the manager, it's illegal what they're doing, putting the location of the meeting on the flyer because it used to be a Catholic nunnery. And Well, our missionary kind of just, the manager didn't have. He allowed us to stay there, no big deal. The missionary told us that's really unfounded, and we just kept on going. We must have stirred somebody up for that phone call to be made. And so there was a lot of that in town there at that time. And so now the division in the church, and you know my honest opinion, I think God wants to do something big there, and I think he will. But I think it's important to have the prayers of God's people behind that. So please pray for the church. It's Anchor of the Soul Baptist Church in Split, Croatia. The missionary's name is Johnny Leslie. And I'm not telling you much of anything that he hasn't put in his prayer letter. So I'm not telling you this to make him or anybody look bad, just to pray for them. They're discouraged. They're there by themselves working with nationals, and they need your prayers. So I'd appreciate that. Please take a look at our table. We've got samples of John and Romans and Bibles there that we've used. You know, there's a few stories I could tell you if you stay around, you know, for a few minutes afterwards. If you ask, I can share some the old communist stories. I wasn't there, but I've heard the stories. And get a prayer card. There's a place, a QR code. You can sign up for our newsletter. And so I just like to ask that y'all would prayerfully consider partnering with us in missions so that we can reach Eastern Europe with God's holy word. And so I appreciate your time and attention. By the way, if you're interested in, those campaigns, those are people from churches like yours that come on our campaigns. Our next campaign is actually outside of Eastern Europe. It's in the Caribbean, way far away. But there's some information in our box. It's a team effort. There's several trips where three of our ministries in our church, including ours, are going to go. But Couriers for Christ will be going on three of those. And they're all listed on the pamphlet and on our table there. So take one of those if you're interested. The cost to go there is actually cheaper than going to Eastern Europe. So if you're thinking you want to go on a missions trip, this might be a good opportunity for you. And so please take a look at that. And, with that in mind, if you all would turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, while you're turning there, I promised y'all another track story today. You know, y'all gave out a lot of tracts during the Sturgis rally. I hope you're in the habit of passing out tracts on a regular basis, not just there, but when you're out and about. Those tracts, sometimes you don't know where they go. Sometimes it's tempting to think, somebody probably just throw that away anyway. They don't want that. But let me tell you, there's been several stories I've heard of people who have got saved through those. So if you weren't here Wednesday, and maybe you couldn't be, but you missed out on two of those stories. But I promised you I'd tell you a third one. And so this is actually from Croatia. I mentioned to you that we had a campaign with a neighboring missionary. I think that was 2021. We took just 2 days, and we personally weren't on this trip. I'm speaking of our ministry, and some people went from Zagreb, where they were working, and went down to Split and just spent 2 days passing out tracts and so forth there and trying to promote the church there, basically. And so while we were there, we met a man named Yoshkov, and I think I'm getting his name right. Yoshkov had some issues with his vehicle, and unsaved man. And he went to one of his friends and wanted to borrow one of his friend's cars. And his friend loaned him a car. And apparently he's the kind of guy that, you know, cleans it out first before he uses it, kind of like me. I like to have my car clean. It's not always clean. So he's going through it and cleaning it out. And guess what he finds in there? Somebody had given his friend a tract while we were there those 2 days in 2021. And he just tossed it in the car. And 2 years later, he's cleaning out the car and he finds this tract. And he begins to look at it. And he went and saw Brother Leslie because he thought God was trying to speak to him. And he was, wasn't he? And to the best of my knowledge, he hasn't got saved yet. But he keeps coming and he keeps asking questions about God's word. And, you know, I've known a lot of people who may be atheists or what have you. It takes a little bit of time sometimes for them to understand God and his word. And so I'm thinking he will probably receive Christ at some point. But you know what? That gospel tract, it wasn't received by the person who got it. Now, I don't know. He might get saved, and he might witness to his friend, and his friend might get saved. Just tossed in the car. 2 years later, he grabs it, and he's interested in it. And so you never know. You never know what God can do through those. So please, keep passing those out. Keep being a witness. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, I've entitled this different. I alluded to being different, making a difference on Wednesday night. Making a difference. The gospel makes a difference. And but after you're saved, there should be a difference. You should be different. And so it says here, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, there's a lot of big words in there, but let me just explain what it's talking about here. It mentions a peculiar people. And Brother Josh, I think you preached some of my message this morning already. And honestly, I was debating about praying and asking God, and I was thinking about preaching on something else. And last night, I spent some more time going through this and studying this, and felt God just wouldn't let me alone in it. And I think maybe that's why. That's what he wants us to hear this morning. But it talks about a peculiar people. Now, if you think back, the nation of Israel were in the Bible. They're called God's chosen people for a reason. And so if you were a Gentile, a non-Jew, non-Israelite, you were called a Gentile in the Bible. And Gentiles didn't have the same privileges that the Israelites did. And so it's talking about here, which were not a people. You know, the church, the New Testament church, wasn't a church in the Old Testament. And so the church is made up of Gentiles, but also some Jews too. And so it's interesting what this passage tells us about the church. And we're gonna get into that a little bit, but I want you to notice that Israel was a peculiar people first. Deuteronomy 14:2, this is to the Israelites. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. Now that word peculiar was in reference to precious jewels and gems, treasures, that were shut up. So if you have a lot of gold and silver and expensive precious metals and stones, you probably don't keep those on you all the time. You put them away. They're unusual in some sense to see them because you don't want them stolen. That's why you don't have them in public all the time. You might show them to people and they're valuable to you. You protect them. And so in that sense, they're unusual. Gold is expensive. It's hard to find. It has to be mined. People came out this way to try to find gold. Many of them died because it's a precious metal, because it's harder to find and harder to process. And so when we're talking about peculiar, it's sort of in that sense, but it's also sort of in the sense that it's unusual, and even to the point where I believe it came out the word peculiar in translation, because we're supposed to be different. And precious gems and precious metals are different, right? And so I believe that's why it came out that way. Okay, then also, if you notice in Deuteronomy there, it says that if you'd like to turn there, you can. But it says, I believe it's in, okay, it's Exodus 19:5. God says, "Now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Now, notice what it says, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Okay, so the nation of Israel, a peculiar people, a holy nation unto God, was contingent on whether they followed God's word. They obeyed him. And so if you read the Bible all the way through, you're going to find in the Old Testament that they didn't do that. They didn't obey God. They began worshiping other idols and other things. And everything but God. Even to the point where their enemies were confused. There was one point, one king said, "You've torn out all the idols in the high places. Your God isn't going to help you now." Well, they weren't supposed to be worshiping their God. You see the kind of testimony they were given to the foreign kings is, "This is our God." But it was the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, not those idols. It was really God. And so you understand even us.